Well, I decided on the lesson that there's a pattern going on in this quarterly. Two times ago when I had the privilege of teaching, it was on child raising or rearing. I like the word raising. I know that rearing's the proper word, but and what did I say I knew about child raising?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's exactly right. Nothing. Last time I got to teach, I knew everything because it was on ordinary. And I'm an ordinary person. I was an expert on ordinary. Now, today's lesson is on rich. So I begin to see the pattern. Know nothing, know everything, and today know nothing about rich. See, so I see a pattern there. What's wrong with being rich?
Nothing.
I didn't think you could get to heaven if you were rich. Pardon? Yep, that's a misquote. That's right. So what's wrong with being rich?
Nothing.
Nothing. Good. I've tried it both ways, and, you know, I found out having some money was a lot better than having no money. I figured that one out. It only took me about four attempts, but then I finally learned that. So, well, I want to look today at richness. Can you name some of God's favorite people that were just filthy rich? Job? Who else? Was it good or bad for Job? Well, it depends on how you look at it. We have both. The end result was it was good. How about for Solomon? Good or bad?
Both.
Well, y'all are feel definite one way or the other, I could tell. Who else was rich that was a good friend of God's?
Abraham.
Good or bad?
Good.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's fantastic. Anybody else you can think of?
David.
Good or bad? Which would you rather be? Rich or poor? What's the danger of being rich?
Selfishness.
What?
Selfishness.
Selfishness. Explain that.
Well,
it's the correct answer.
The more you want.
The more, yeah, okay. More you get, the more you want. What else is wrong? What are the dangers of being rich?
You depend on yourself.
Okay. Anybody else?
Money will become your God.
Yeah. Okay. What happens when you tend to get successful? When things start going right, what happens?
You think you're really something unusually good.
Yeah. I mean, you start kind of focusing in on just how good you are. How brilliant your moves are. And, you know, I can remember, and these two boys over here know, they started out with me, Ross, where I had the privilege of working with him. You know, there was a period when I was 26, 27, made a lot of money. Well, I owned the business, and man, we thought of whatever money we made this year, we were just going to double it next year, and the next year was going to double that. I mean, we figured out by 40, you know, I was already retired and had everything done. Had all the, you know, the cars and everything that went with it. And, of course, you make bad decisions. And then all of a sudden, I found the more successful I got, the less church become of interest to me. In fact, the only interest I had in church was play basketball with the guys. So I'd come up with a big, you know, gold necklace around my neck and play basketball. So I enjoyed basketball. The danger is that you begin to look at yourself and you begin to think how brilliant you are and you don't need God. And then one morning, I got up about 5:30 in the morning. I walked out, and car number one was gone, and car number two was gone, and car number three, the van was gone. And so I got thinking, well, now maybe a burglar wanted my Thunderbird, and maybe a burglar wanted my Cadillac. But no thief in the world wanted that van, because Roger wrecked it the first day he worked for me, you know. And then I said, you know, I think there's somebody that wants it more than me. And that was the bank. So now you start doing some thinking. And the next thing I know, I begin to drift again. Back where? To church. What do you think of prosperity preachers today that tell you, if you're close to God, that God wants you to be rich? That God wants you to have money? God wants you to put in a little seed and it'll grow to prosperity. What do you think of that? Who said that? Oh, okay.
Maybe not in this life. I mean, ultimately, you know, we're all going to be rich. We're all going to have the crowns and the
okay.
You know, fly first class. You know, but you know, we're going to have it all.
So it might not be here, but it'll be up there. Absolutely. So what you're saying is, one of the things you have to figure out is, where is your real home? See, if your home's here, and that's as far as you can see, then you might as well just go for it. But if your home's up there, and you're just a pilgrim on a journey, that does change everything. You see, I think that God would like for us all to be prosperous. I really do. I think that He would like us to be successful in our jobs, successful in our pay, successful in the things that we could do, because we could then support our family, educate our kids, which I think is an absolute priority. We can support His work. We would have time to do things. I think He would like all of us to be prosperous. But God is not going to put us in a position that will lead us from Him. And that's the tendency. You know, there's an old saying, in a foxhole there are no atheists. Well, sometimes when you're poor and you have everything taken away from you, you've got to sit there and do some serious thinking. When you have money in your pocket and you're living the good life, and you think the next money's around the corner is going to be greater, you don't need anything. Now, I always like it when the Bible agrees with my philosophy. Always makes me feel good when that happens. So today, we're going to look at the story of, as we know it, the rich young ruler. Now, you always have to put story, Rob likes the word context, but you always have to put the story in the way it is happening. And we know the story of the rich young ruler. We sometimes don't look at what's happening before the story. And we certainly don't look at the ending of the story after the rich young ruler sadly walks away. And those are the two things that really tell the story of the rich young ruler. So let's take a look at it. It's found in Matthew 19. Like my mezzanated reader fired him the other day. He didn't bring his book with him. So I don't have time to fool with him going through his pockets. So we're just going to forget it today. Sit back and enjoy. You're fired.
I've been fired by better people.
I understand that. I agree, man. I've worked for four corporations and had the absolute privilege of being fired from all four. So, you know, I figured out at the age of about 38, I don't think corporate world's good for me. So I stay out of it. All right, let's look at this rich young ruler, because there's a very, very beautiful picture of God. Remember, the ruler is not the hero or the villain in this story. Because the story is always about God. By the way, speaking of God, we got a request off of our 3ABN radio program that Rob and I have the privilege of being on from the Netherlands. So we're now being heard over in Europe. So we praise the Lord for that. That's exciting. So, all right. Just before the story of the rich young ruler, Jesus is sitting with a bunch of children. And the people had brought their children for Jesus to pray over and to touch. What was the disciples' response? Anybody remember when they brought the children to him, what the disciples thought? Pardon?
He doesn't
have time for them. Too busy. Well, he doesn't have time to do anything with you. Hey, don't you know who this guy is? He's a future ruler of Israel. Too busy. Ever known any evangelists, by the way, that's kind of like that? Any pastors, maybe, they're like that? Too busy to mingle among the ordinary people? That's what the disciples said to these people. Get away from here. This man's important. You're not, let alone your children. But Jesus, as he always does, stayed, prayed over them. We think he healed some. And children just loved him. Now, this next quotation bothers me, but I've read where it says that if children and dogs don't like you, that you need to examine yourself. Well, I can't stand dogs. So Jesus is with the children. Now, there's a rich young ruler who is observing this. Do you wonder whatever brought the rich young ruler to a point where he would ask Jesus what he needed to do? He just didn't come up this out of his clear out of the blue sky. He saw the children. He saw Jesus, the way he treated the children. What do you think went through his mind? What do you think went through his mind? How do you think the rich young ruler was treated by people? Pardon?
If they knew he was rich, maybe kind of tag on, latch on to him, you know.
Absolutely. Did he have some power? Absolutely. Did he have money? Absolutely. You know, one time I remember I was walking with my daddy. We used to walk all the time. And he was giving me some advice on women. And I remember him saying, very exactly, you can love and marry a rich woman as easy as you can love and marry a poor woman. Now, as usual, I just did the opposite of what Daddy told me to do, but I always remember that. You can love and fall in love with a rich woman as easy as you can fall in love with a poor woman. Rich people And the rich young ruler was used to people having a false relationship with him. Either they were afraid of his power, afraid of his position, or they wanted to buddy up with him because he was rich. How many true relationships do you think this rich young ruler had with people? And as he sat and he watched a common man, the children just adoring him, sitting in his lap, hugging, singing, happy, it touched his heart because he did not have that in his life. Everything was held at arm's length, and he longed to have somebody who cared for him because he was a person, not a position or not money. And so now he's moved by this. Then what does he say to Jesus? What question does he ask of Jesus? Have you found Matthew 19? All right, read the question. We're going to go to my semi-reinstated designated reader.
Start at 68 where he's the rich young man.
Yes.
Right. Once a man came to Jesus, teacher, he asked, what good thing...
Now, first of all, what do you get from the word teacher?
Position.
Yeah, position. Did he see him as the Son of God?
No.
No. Saw him as a teacher, an instructor. Something different. Okay, teacher.
Yeah, teacher. What good thing must I do to receive eternal life?
Okay.
That's a Jesus answer.
Oh, let's stay right there. What do you think he meant by that question?
He wanted a checklist.
Wanted a checklist. Well, certainly. What else? Yeah, something's missing in his life. That's why the first few verses in front of the story are important. Something is missing in his life. Because you don't ask these questions. What is it that this man has that children climb all over him? And he enjoys what he's doing, and the children enjoy him. And here I am. I'm rich. I'm powerful. And I have nobody close to me. He was hungering inside for something different than what he had. That's why we cannot pay attention to what people say when we meet them and they come through the doors. How are you doing this morning? I'm fine. While they're dying inside, longing inside, wanting a hug, wanting to know someone cares. And so this rich young ruler had everything, but he knew deep inside nobody really cared about him personally. And so he asked a philosophical question. Teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? Now, surely Jesus is going to give him a very soft, soak answer.
Jesus says, why do you ask me concerning what is good?
All right, let's stop there. Why that answer? Why that answer? You see, I'm a sales trainer. That's one of the first things you learn to do when people ask you a question. is... Come on in. You learn to take whatever question they have and repeat it back to them. It's just a technique. I have a good friend of mine that paid $400 to go to a seminar and learned one sentence. He shared it with me, saved me $400, but I've used it most of the last 20 years, is ask me my opinion on something. Ron, anything, I don't care.
What do you think about the President of the United States?
I don't know. What do you think?
That's a real good question.
See? He paid $400. I learned it for nothing. You see, when a person asks your opinion, is he really wanting your opinion? No. He's wanting to tell you what his opinion is. So I said, I don't know. What do you think? And then they'll rattle on for the next 5 minutes. Selling the same thing. Well, what do you mean by that? Why would you ask that question? Instead of giving them a 10-minute answer, say, well, it's interesting. Why would you ask that, Rob? And now Rob's got to state his position. Nobody knows my position because I'm going to take my position up to whatever he says. And present it differently, see? So Jesus didn't answer straightforward. He says, why did you ask the question? That's why Jesus, one of the greatest sales trainers there ever was. Why did you ask the question? All right, start where Jesus asked him.
Why do you ask me concerning what is good? Jesus said, there is only one who is good, says Jesus. Keep the commandments if you want to enter life.
All right, let's stop there. Now, Jesus is setting a table to get the rich young ruler as he did with Nicodemus. Do you see the parallel with Nicodemus? Nicodemus comes in with some crazy question and he thinks he's waxing very philosophically, and Jesus is taking the table away from him. He says, first of all, why would you use the word good? There's only one good. Now, why did Jesus say, but if you want an answer, keep the commandments? Is that back to your checklist? Okay. Now.
He also knew that God said, I do keep the commandments.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm still in this position.
Yeah.
I want to be real friends.
Yeah. See? Another technique that you use in selling, if I say it, it could be or not be. If Sandy says it, to Sandy it's a fact. You get that? So Jesus is drawing him out. All right. So he says, keep the commandments. Now, what does this rich young ruler, does he starting to feel pretty good? Yeah, because why?
Because then he says, what commandments, he asked. And Jesus answered.
Now, here's the interesting part. He says, what commandments? Now, did he know the answer to that?
Yeah.
Certainly. What's interesting is, what commandments does Jesus direct him to? The first four? The last six? By the way, what do the last six have to do with? Pardon?
How we treat people.
Do you see that theme in the New Testament? The judgment is always on what day do you keep? How much tithe you pay? When he separated the sheep and the goats, it wasn't how much tithe, did you keep the right day? It was simply, did you feed the hungry? Did you clothe the naked? Did you take care of them? And so here Jesus does not pick the four commandments to do with the worship of God. He picks the 6 commandments that have to do with simply, if you know God, how do you treat your fellow man? So read them.
So Jesus answered, do not commit murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not accuse anyone falsely. Respect your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the young man says, I have obeyed all of these commandments. What else do I need to do?
All right. You see, Jesus has said, okay, you want to know how to get eternal life? Then how do you treat your fellow man? That is the basis of judgment. How do you treat your fellow man? For you see, if you don't know God, and God is not working through you, you're not going to be a blessing to your fellow man. Oh, you can give them all the doctrines you want to. Oh, you can tell them what's right and what's wrong all you want to. You can tell them what not to eat and to eat. You can tell them what a vegan diet is. You can tell them what true tithe paying is. You can tell them all that all you want to. That has never brought a person to Jesus Christ. What brings people to Jesus Christ is when they see through you what God has done in your life. And you can tell them, what He's done to me, He'll do for you. You see, we try to work hard to convert people. Our job is to present and uphold God. The Holy Spirit converts people. Amen. Who in the world do we think we're that good? So he goes through the list for this nice rich young ruler. Do you think the rich young ruler is sincere? How many think at this point that he's sincere? Raise your hand. I like commitment. Yeah, good. That's right. Yeah, absolutely sincere. Why? Because he has no one hugging him. He has no one who loves him for himself. And he knows this. He longs for someone to care. And so Jesus says, do good to your fellow man. Now, he has a choice. You know, the Old Testament starts out where they said, choose this day who you will serve. Moses says, choose good or choose evil. Please choose good. It's all about a choice. And now Jesus has to bring it down to touch this man's heart. Because the man says, these commandments I've done when? How long? All his life. Now what can you do with a person like this? I've done that. I've done that. So what's going to change this man who is sincere? I think that's very important in the story. He is sincere. What's going to change that? That's right. Because see, that was the question he asked. What am I lacking? And so God has to tell you that. Because if you do not get over that, there is no relation. Do you see that Judas, some say, well, why maybe if he'd have just said, well, come on. I need money. You're rich. Why don't you pay a double tithe and come on. But you see, he already had one disciple that wanted to join. You've got to remember, Judas was not called. Judas joined. And what did it do for Judas every day for 3.5 years when he saw Jesus pray, Jesus wept, Jesus cried, Jesus took care of the children, he healed? What did it do to Judas's heart? Nothing. And so Jesus could have said to this rich young ruler, come on! They already had one just like him. So God, Jesus is going to answer the question. Read the answer.
There's two versions I have here now. This, the good news, oops, says if you want to be perfect, this is the New American Standard. It says, if you wish to be complete,
yep,
go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and you will follow me.
Well, there's Randy's answer. Oh, man. I thought you just said, Ernie, that Jesus is one of the greatest salespeople in the world. So why would he get this blunt? Because the man says, what do I lack? You see, when you think you have everything and you're looking for the one thing that you lack, you deserve to find that answer. So Jesus says, if you want to follow me, love to have you. Just sell everything. Give it to the poor and follow me. Because what little treasure you have in Chase National Bank is compared to nothing that you have in heaven. Where is your home? Where is your heart? And the rich young ruler says,
when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he was very rich.
Let's stop there. He went away very sad because he was rich. Now what do you think was going through his mind?
Heart with some of his riches.
Heart full of richness. Absolutely. Get down to the bottom one there where it talks about skip the eye of a needle. You know, there's all kinds of things. Some people say he meant literally an eye of a needle. A camel can't go through. There was supposedly a gate with a needle. Who cares today? Read the next one.
Jesus looks at his disciples and said, this is impossible for
you. Yeah, I'm going to move past.
Then Peter spoke up. We have left everything and followed you. What will we have? And Jesus said to them, you can be sure that when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne in the new age, then you 12 followers of mine will also sit on thrones to rule the 12 tribes of Israel.
Okay.
Verse 29. And everyone who has left houses...
Move on down.
But many who now are first will be last. And many who...
Okay, does it say the disciples were astonished?
They were amazed.
Yeah, that's part of Monk. Thank you. Appreciate you hanging in there with me. He leaves. He walks away. He doesn't answer. He has no answer. Now, why do you think he went away? Obviously, he was rich. And he didn't want to give up. But there's another part that you must have. The disciples were amazed when Jesus said, it's hard for a rich man to get into heaven. They were astonished. They were amazed. They were shocked. Why?
Because the whole Jewish religion was, if you're rich, you're in favor with God.
Absolutely. You see, the rich young ruler was torn in two directions. One was richness. The other was status. What did they say to Job when everything was taken away from him except his wife? Very interesting. What did they say to Job? What have you done? Repent your sins. His wife come along, really helpful. Said, curse God and die. What have you done? The rich young ruler was torn two ways. Yes, it hurt him to have to give up that richness that he probably inherited. But it hurt him. But the second one was, now as he walked around as a poor person, following a good teacher, what were people, what was his family, what were those people that hung around him because he had power and money, what were they going to say about him? Oh boy, did he really anger God. Make no bones about this. Jesus would have loved to have stopped and put his arms around that man just as he did the children a few minutes early and hug him. But God wants a relationship with us. His greatest desire is not to make life here easy. His greatest desire is to have a relationship with Him so He can spend eternity with us. And He will not do anything that will separate us from Him that leads to where we have no relationship for eternity. And He could not, for the rich young ruler's sake, just say, come on. For the rich young ruler had the right questions. But you folks that are all in counseling know. So most of the time, my opinion, people ask the questions just to hear an answer they want to hear. Am I right? And that's what the rich young ruler wanted to do. And the disciples were amazed. Shocked. Because what motivated the disciples at this time to be with Jesus? Pardon? Same thing. The same thing. He's going to be what? King? And at the Last Supper, within hours of the crucifixion, what were two of His most faithful disciples doing? Arguing who was going to be first. And the mother comes along and helps settle that. They were with Jesus for the same reason the rich young ruler. They were there. He was a good man. Yes, but the end result, this is going to be the King, and we're going to be right there and be the King's top men. And when Judas found out that wasn't going to happen, he betrayed him. The disciples don't look good in this picture either. My, it's Jesus. They're sitting there just a few hours before He's going to the cross, arguing who's going to be sitting on the left and who's sitting on the right. One of them's out there working to betray Him. One of them, within a few hours, is going to curse and deny that He even knew Him. And on Thursday night, He's sitting there washing their feet. Crying over Peter because he knows in a few hours, three times Peter's going to say, I don't know this man. Crying for Judas, who just in a few hours is going to finalize and go hang himself. And crying for the disciples who did not understand His mission, but there was something in Him that they trusted, and at least they kept going. This is God. Thank goodness, because I'm no different than the disciples. You're no different than the disciples. Thank God He's like that. He loves us. We ask questions, He gives us answers. When we run, He pursues. But He has to tell us that which separates us. Because if we don't see that we need Him, we lose out eternity. And that breaks God's heart. Father in heaven, rich young ruler, perhaps in our spiritual journey is a lot like we've been. Sometimes we look for a checklist and we say, well, we're pretty good people. The bottom line, you just want our hearts. You want our love. You want to be first in our life. For some of us, we're blessed tremendously. Physically, financially. Some of us, we struggle to see that physical or spiritual blessing. But one thing about it, spiritually, we're all blessed. This is not our home. We're just occupying till the day You come and say, come, spend eternity with Me. That is richness. Help us today. Again, we uphold our brother Trent and his wife Lenita in our prayers. Be very, very special to them, Father, and let them know that You care, we care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.